Chapter 8, The Family, a Missionary Field.
Our work for Christ is to begin with the family in the home. The education of the youth should be of a different order from that which has been given in the past. Their welfare demands far more labor than has been given them. There is no missionary field more important than this. By precept and example, parents are to teach their children to labor for the unconverted. The children should be so educated that they will sympathize with the aged and afflicted and will seek to alleviate the sufferings of the poor and distressed. They should be taught to be diligent in missionary work, and from their earliest years of self-denial and sacrifice for the good of others and the advancement of Christ's cause should be inculcated, that they may be laborers together with God. But if they ever learn to do genuine missionary work for others, they must first learn to labor for those at home, who have a natural right to their offices of love. Every child should be trained to bear his respective share of service in the home. He should never be ashamed to use his hands in lifting home burdens or his feet in running errands. While thus engaged, he will not go into paths of negligence and sin. How many hours are wasted by children and youth which might be spent in taking up their strong young shoulders and assisting to lift the family responsibilities which someone must bear, thus showing a loving interest in father and mother. They are also to be rooted in the true principles of health reform and the care of their own bodies. Oh, that parents would look prayerfully and carefully after their children's eternal welfare. Let them ask themselves, have we been careless? Have we neglected this solemn work? Have we allowed our children to become the sport of Satan's temptations? Have we not a solemn account to settle with God because we have permitted our children to use their talents, their time and influence in working against the truth, against Christ? Have we not neglected our duty as parents and increased the number of the subjects in Satan's kingdom? By many, this home field has been shamefully neglected, and it is time that divine resources and remedies were presented, that this state of evil may be corrected. What excuse can the professed followers of Christ offer for neglecting to train their children to work for Him? God designs that the families of earth shall be a symbol of the family in heaven. Christian homes, established and conducted in accordance with God's plan, are among His most effective agencies for the formation of Christian character and for the advancement of His work. If parents desire to see a different state of things in their families, let them consecrate themselves wholly to God and cooperate with Him in the work whereby a transformation may take place in their households. When our own homes are what they should be, our children will not be allowed to grow up in idleness and indifference to the claims of God in behalf of the needy all about them. As the Lord's heritage, they will be qualified to take up the work where they are. A light will shine from such homes which will reveal itself in behalf of the ignorant, leading them to the source of all knowledge. An influence will be exerted that will be a power for God and for His truth.
Chapter 9. Instruct the Church in Missionary Work.
Watchmen, what of the night? Isaiah 21:11. Are the watchmen of whom this demand is made able to give the trumpet a certain sound? Are the shepherds faithfully caring for the flock as those who must give an account? Are the ministers of God watching for souls, realizing that those under their care are the purchase of the blood of Christ? A great work is to be done in the world, and what efforts are we making for its accomplishment? The people have had too much sermonizing. But have they been taught how to labor for those for whom Christ died? Has a line of labor been devised and placed before them in such a way that each has seen the necessity of taking part in the work? It is evident that all the sermons that have been preached have not developed a large class of self-denying workers. This subject is to be considered as involving the most serious results. Our future for eternity is at stake. The churches are withering up because they have failed to use their talents in diffusing light. careful instruction should be given, which will be as lessons from the Master, that all may put their light to practical use. Those who have the oversight of the churches should select members of ability and place them under responsibilities, at the same time giving them instruction as to how they may best serve and bless others. Every means should be used to bring the knowledge of the truth before the thousands who will discern the evidence, who will appreciate the likeness of Christ in His people if they can have an opportunity to see it. Let the missionary meeting be turned into account in teaching the people how to do missionary labor. God expects His church to discipline and fit its members for the work of enlightening the world. An education should be given that would result in furnishing hundreds who would put out to the exchangers valuable talents. By the use of these talents, men would be developed who would be prepared to fill positions of trust and influence, and to maintain pure, uncorrupted principles. Thus, great good would be accomplished for the Master.
Chapter 10. Set the Church Members to Work.
Many who possess real ability are rusting from inaction because they do not know how to set themselves at work in missionary lines. Let someone who has ability lay out before these inactive ones the line of work they could do. Let small missions be established in many places to teach men and women how to use and thus increase their talents. Let all understand what is expected from them, and many who are now unemployed will become true laborers. The parable of the talents should be explained to all. The members of the churches should be made to understand that they are the light of the world, and according to their several ability, the Lord expects them to enlighten and bless others. Whether they are rich or poor, great or humble, God calls them into active service for Him. He depends upon the church for the forwarding of His work, and He expects His professed followers to do their duty as intelligent beings. There is great need that every trained mind, every disciplined intellect, every jot of ability be brought into the work of saving souls. Do not pass by the little things and look for a large work. You might do successfully the small work, but fail utterly in attempting a larger work and fall into discouragement. Take hold wherever you see that there is work to be done. It will be by doing with your might what your hands find to do that you will develop talents and aptitude for a larger work. It is by slighting the daily opportunities, neglecting the little things, that so many become fruitless and withered. There are ways in which all may do personal service for God. Some can write a letter to a far-off friend, or send a paper to one who is inquiring for truth. Others can give counsel to those who are in difficulty. Those who know how to treat the sick can help in this line. Others who have the necessary qualifications can give Bible readings or conduct Bible classes. The very simplest modes of work should be devised and set in operation among the churches. If the members will unitedly accept such plans and perseveringly carry them out, they will reap a rich reward, for their experience will grow brighter, their ability will increase, and through their efforts, souls will be saved.
Chapter 11. The Uneducated to Be Workers.
Let none feel that because they are uneducated, they cannot take part in the Lord's work. God has a work for you to do. He has given to every man His work. You can search the Scriptures for yourselves. Psalms 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." You can pray for the work. The prayer of the sincere heart offered in faith will be heard in heaven, and you are to work according to your ability. Everyone has an influence for good or for evil. If the soul is sanctified to the service of God and devoted to the work of Christ, the influence will tend to gather with Christ. All heaven is in activity, and the angels of God are waiting to cooperate with all who will devise plans whereby souls for whom Christ died may hear the glad tidings of salvation. Angels who minister to those that shall be heirs of salvation are saying to every true saint, "There is work for you to do. Go, stand and speak to the people all the words of this life." See Acts 5, verse 20. If those addressed would obey this injunction, the Lord would prepare the way before them, putting them in possession of means wherewith to go.
Chapter 12. Arouse the Idlers.
Souls are perishing out of Christ, and those who profess to be Christ's disciples are letting them die. Our brethren have talents entrusted to them for the very work of saving souls, but some have bound these up in a napkin and buried them in the earth. How much do such idlers resemble the angel who was represented as flying in the midst of heaven, proclaiming the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus? What manner of entreaty can be brought to bear upon the idlers that will arouse them to go to work for the Master? What can we say to the slothful church member to make him realize the necessity of unearthing his talent and putting it out to the exchangers? There will be no idler, no slothful one found inside the kingdom of heaven. Oh, that God would set this matter in all its importance before the sleeping churches! Oh, that Zion would arise and put on her beautiful garments! Oh, that she would shine! There are many ordained ministers who have never yet exercised a shepherd's care over the flock of God, who have never yet watched for souls as they that must give an account. The church, instead of developing, is left to be a weak, dependent, inefficient body. The members of the church, trained to rely upon preaching, do little for Christ. They bear no fruit, but rather increase in selfishness and unfaithfulness. They put their hope in the preacher and depend upon his efforts to keep alive their weak faith. Because the church members have not been properly instructed by those whom God has placed as overseers, many are slothful servants, hiding their talents in the earth, and still complaining of the Lord's dealing toward them. They expect to be tended like sick children. This condition of weakness must not continue. Well-organized work must be done in the church that its members may understand how to impart the light to others and thus strengthen their own faith and increase their knowledge. As they impart that which they have received from God, they will be confirmed in the faith. A working church is a living church. We are built up as living stones, and every stone is to emit light. Every Christian is compared to a precious stone that catches the glory of God and reflects it. The idea that the minister must carry all the burdens and do all the work is a great mistake. Overworked and broken down, he may go into the grave when, had the burden been shared as the Lord designed, he might have lived. That the burden may be distributed, an education must be given to the church by those who can teach the workers to follow Christ and to work as he worked.
Chapter 13. The Youth to be Missionaries.
Let not the youth be ignored. Let them share in labor and responsibility. Let them feel that they have a part to act in helping and blessing others. Even the children should be taught to do little errands of love and mercy for those less fortunate than themselves. Let the overseers of the church devise plans whereby young men and women may be trained to put to use their entrusted talents. Let the older members of the church seek to do earnest, compassionate work for the children and youth. Let ministers put to use all their ingenuity in devising plans whereby the younger members of the church may be led to cooperate with them in missionary work. But do not imagine that you can arouse their interest merely by preaching a long sermon at the missionary meeting. Plan ways whereby a live interest may be kindled. Let all have a part to act. Train the young to do what is appointed them. and from week to week let them bring their reports to the missionary meeting, telling what they have experienced and through the grace of Christ what success has been theirs. If such reports were brought in by consecrated workers, the missionary meetings would not be dull and tedious. They would be full of interest, and there would be no lack in attendance. In every church, the members should be so trained that they will devote time to the winning of souls to Christ. How can it be said of the church, "Ye are the light of the world," unless the members of the church are actually imparting light? Let those who have charge of the flock of Christ awake to their duty and set many souls to work.
Chapter 14. Let the churches awake.
Peculiar and rapid changes will soon take place, and God's people are to be endowed with the Holy Spirit so that with heavenly wisdom they may meet the emergencies of this age and as far as possible counteract the demoralizing movements of the world. If the church is not asleep, if the followers of Christ watch and pray, they may have light to comprehend and appreciate the movements of the enemy. The end is near. God calls upon the church to set in order the things that remain. Workers together with God, you are empowered by the Lord to take others with you into the kingdom. You are to be God's living agents, channels of light to the world, and round about you are angels of heaven with their commission from Christ to sustain, strengthen, and uphold you in working for the salvation of souls. I appeal to the churches in every conference. Stand out separate and distinct from the world, in the world but not of it, reflecting the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness, being pure, holy, and undefiled, and in faith carrying light into all the highways and byways of the earth. Let the churches awake before it is everlastingly too late. Let every member take up his individual work and vindicate the name of the Lord by which he is called. Let sound faith and earnest piety take the place of slothfulness and unbelief. When faith lays hold upon Christ, the truth will bring delight to the soul, and the services of religion will not be dull and uninteresting. Your social meetings, now tame and spiritless, will be vitalized by the Holy Spirit. Daily you will have a rich experience as you practice the Christianity you profess. Sinners will be converted. They will be touched by the word of truth and will say, as did some who listened to Christ's teaching, "We have seen and heard wonderful things today." In view of what might be done, if the church would meet its God-given responsibilities, will its members sleep on, or will they arouse to a sense of the honor conferred upon them through the merciful providence of God? Will they gather up their hereditary trusts, avail themselves of the present light, and feel the necessity of rising to meet the urgent emergency that now presents itself? Oh, that all may arouse and manifest to the world that theirs is a living faith, that a vital issue is before the world, that Jesus will soon come. Let men see that we believe that we are on the borders of the eternal world. The upbuilding of the kingdom of God is retarded or urged forward according to the unfaithfulness or fidelity of human agencies. The work is hindered by the failure of the human to cooperate with the divine. Men may pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." But if they fail of acting out this prayer in their lives, their petitions will be fruitless. But though you may be weak, erring, and sinful, the Lord holds out to you the offer of partnership with Himself. He invites you to come under divine instruction. Uniting with Christ, you may work the works of God. Without me, Christ said, he can do nothing. Through the prophet Isaiah is given the promise, "Thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward." Isaiah 58:8. It is the righteousness of Christ that goes before us, and this is the glory of the Lord which is to be our reward. Ye churches of the living God, study this promise and consider how your lack of faith, of spirituality, of divine power is hindering the coming of the kingdom of God. If you would go forth to do Christ's work, angels of God would open the way before you, preparing hearts to receive the gospel. Were every one of you a living missionary, the message for this time would speedily be proclaimed in all countries, to every people and nation and tongue. This is the work that must be done before Christ shall come in power and great glory. I call upon the church to pray earnestly that you may understand your responsibilities. Are you individually laborers together with God? If not, why not? When do you mean to do your heaven-appointed work? For all who are disheartened, there is but one remedy: faith, prayer, and work.